Les colloques du Collège de France.
Ok, so thank you, Lydéric, for the invitation. I'm happy that the talk before me was about soft matter. I feel a little bit released because I'm not a specialist of quantum mechanics and so on, I would say. And so I'm going to talk about soft nanofluidics now. And of course, the motivation is to investigate sub-nanometric transport in water. I would not say why here. But I would say there are many questions. Is this the effect of the confinement or the effect of the material? It seems to be the material at some point that leads to these specific properties. I would say our main motivation is mostly experimental. And what we observed in the literature is that there is some limitations of model experimental system. First, even there has been a lot of experiments performed by many groups, they are not versatile. We generally have one material, graphene, or maybe HBN sometimes, or MOS2, one dimension. They are difficult also to build from a technological point of view, so I participate to put a HBN nanotube in holes. I would say it's difficult. And it's far from real system for applications. And this is why we decided to go to soft matter to have a much more easy access, I would say, experimental systems. So the first one is old science, I would say. We designed a very nanofluidic channel with soft matter, maybe Benjamin Franklin's, with his famous experiment in 1774, where he released a drop of oil with contaminants at the surface of a lake. And if you look at the oil spreading, you can see that it spread over, I would say, tens of meters, and that the thickness of the oil layer is in molecular incisions. So we have a liquid film of molecular thickness. And based from this, I would say, experiment, we can say, okay, here we have a nanofluidic system, and we can investigate transport in it. So in the lab, we did it in two ways. We investigated transport in soap films. This is because I come from the community of liquid foam and soft matter, I would say, and also in condensed film. I'm going to show you very shortly some results we obtained on soap films. So the soap films are not that thin. The thickness reach, spans between 5 and 100 nanometers. We have, but it has some richness, I would say. There are some complex boundary conditions. The films are deformable and so on. And this leads to other properties, I would say. And we more recently performed experiment in condensed film. And with this experiment, we can reach really ultimate confinement, and we probe ionic transport in this condensed film. So let's begin with the soap film. So this is a work I've performed like more than 10 years ago now with my colleague Oriane Bonhomme. And okay, let's come back to the real motivation. Not real nanofluidics, but our motivation was to create some liquid foams which are stable in space and time. So as you know, liquid foam have many applications in food engineering, cosmetics, building material, and so on. But it's an out-of-equilibrium material. You can see on the movie on the right side of the system here. Maybe I have a pointer. It's not so good. Oh, that's okay. Where is it? You can see it. It tends to collapse. And a long time ago, we showed with some colleagues in Marne-la-Vallée, Olivier Pitois and Aline Delbos, that to get a foam stable, it has to be wet. Here is a fast diagram of the liquid fraction of a foam and the radius of the bubble. And if you have open symbol, you have a stable foam. Plain symbol, you have unstable foam. And you see that the foam needs to be above a critical liquid fraction to be wet. And what we decided to do is to use electroosmosis to keep the foam wet. And this is where ionic and a nanofluidic transport takes place, I would say. Okay, so on this topic, we show that we have a complex boundary condition. We investigated slippage at liquid-gas interfaces laden with surfactant by MD simulation with my colleague Laurent Joly. And we saw that the slip length depends on the surfactant density. It's very simple. The more surfactants that you have, the less slippage that you have. And I would say the main result of this work is to say that if you have a stable soap film, you need to have enough surfactants and you have no slippage. The second thing that we probe is experimentally we probe the surfactant distribution at the interface when you apply electroosmosis, and for that we design an experiment where we combine second harmonic generation experiment to probe locally the surfactant density. So we know the amount of surfactant at the interface along the interface, and we combine it with a confocal microscopy to probe electroosmosis in the system. And the result was somehow negative, but we say we have no Marangoni stress at the interface, and this can be explained theoretically by saying you have no net force on the surfactant. In fact, the electric drag will be fully compensated by the hydrodynamic drag on the surfactant, and this is due to charge neutrality, or charge conservation, let's say. We also showed with Lyderic this time that soap film can be deformable, and this can lead to non-linearities when you induce electroosmosis in soap film. So this experiment performed at the bubble scale this time. And more recently, we show some interesting results about coupling with some thermal effect. So as we have a deformable system, it becomes at some point, I would say, non-homogeneous, asymmetric. And then, for example, if you have a liquid foam, you induce a flow by electroosmosis, it's going to be dry at the bottom, and then, due to Joule effect, it's going to be heated more at the bottom than at the top. You have heterogeneous Joule effect, and then you can increase this electroosmosis, and you can enhance it by a factor of 100. And so all this coupling with deformability can lead to some very specific effect. So that's what we do on a soap film, maybe more recently, because I wanted to have some electronic coupling also. We made a collaboration with some people in Montpellier. It's an organic chemist, and they know how to synthesize electronic surfactant. And so we put their surfactant at liquid gas interfaces above a Langmuir trough. And what we did is we compressed the surfactant layer by hoping to have a kind of electronic layer at the interface. And so this is some kind of preliminary results. What we did so far is we probe if we have this electronic layer. We probed it by a spectrometric ellipsometry. So from looking at the reflected signal in an ellipsometer at the interface, I would say, we can go back by an inversion process to the refraction index and the absorption index, and we can see that we have some shift of the absorption peak of the system. We have a kind of blue shift. It can be a signature of the pi-pass stacking, and now we are building an experiment to probe surface electronic transport with this way. So this is some experiment performed by Changwu Bae with a PhD student and Samuel Albert. So more to come, I would say, on this. So now I'm going to show you what we did on a condensed film, and I will spend some more time on that, and how we probed ionic transport in a 0.2 to 3 nanometer thick film, and show where we observe some breakdown of the classical continuous description. So our condensed film, we can have a condensed film on a substrate if the substrate is hydrophilic enough, I would say. And the criteria is to get a spreading parameter that compares the surface energy of the solid vapor interface with the surface energy of the solid liquid and liquid vapor interface. If this spreading parameter is larger than zero, then you have a water film that condensates. So to get that, we build a new setup to have substrate in a humidity control environment. So we have our substrate, which is a silicon with a silica layer. It is placed on a thermal stage, and what we do first is we do some vacuum in our cell, and then we stop the vacuum pumping, and we put the system in contact with a vapor source, which is at a given temperature with the temperature of the source. So the vapor pressure in our system is the saturation pressure of at the temperature of the source. And then we change the substrate temperature, and with that, we change the relative humidity just above the substrate, and it will be given by the vapor pressure fixed by the source and the saturation pressure at the temperature of the substrate. So this is our setup in Réol. We have the vacuum pump, the thermostated bath, the setup, the temperature controller, and so on. This is our materials. So as I mentioned, it's a silicon wafer with a deposit layer of silica. We have a stringent cleaning procedure to get it hydrophilic, of course. And we measure the thickness of the film with ellipsometry. So this is the results. So here I report the thickness of the film as a function of the humidity for different silica layer thickness. And what is interesting is that a control of humidity can indeed allow us to have a control of the film thickness between 0.3 to 2 nanometer. And it's a continuous control. And this is experiment performed for different silica layer thicknesses. So when we have this kind of curves, of course, we want to put a theory on it. So the film thickness is known to be set by the interaction energy, the disjoining pressure of the system. So the disjoining pressure will be proportional to the logarithm of the humidity. And it can have different origins. It can be due to electrostatics. Oh, here we are in a counter ions only regime or Wi-Chapman regime. It can be also due to an absorption layer. And if you consider these two models, you recover that the disjoining pressure should vary like 1 over the height of the liquid film. We also can have a van der Waals model where we have the disjoining pressure in this geometry that varies like 1 over H3 with the Amaker's constant. If we fit our data, we recover a law in 1 over H3. So we can nicely, the 1 over H fitting does not match our experimental data. And if we can then calculate the Amaker constant and we find something reasonable of the order of 8 to the multiplied by 10 to the minus 20 joules. So we were very satisfied with this. Then we measured ionic transport in this system. So that, as I mentioned, we are in a vacuum environment, we have a lot of pumps and so on. So it is very difficult to measure a very low signal. So what we did is we used a trick to increase the signal, and for that, we deposited a pattern of a platinum electrode, which is an interlaced pattern. This is the pattern that you see in figure B here. So in fact, you have very, very long electrode, and you have a transport within the film in the very thin blue zone that you see here. And you can also see a side view of the system, so you have a very thin film between two electrodes, I would say. And with this trick, on a 2 centimeter chip, we can have an electrode length of 80 centimeters, so we can increase the signal by a factor of 100, I would say. And this is the result. So here I report the conductance as a function of the film thickness for two temperature of the source. And we have some variability, of course, but we have also some generic features that we have a non-linear increase of the conductance with the thickness of the film, and we have a saturation of the conductance at large thicknesses. So we try to understand that with our continuous description tool, I would say. We made some hypotheses. The first hypothesis is that we have a zero charge at the water-vapor interface. I would say that's reasonable because we are in a very clean environment. This is just condensed matter, water. We have no dust and so on. We were in vacuum. And then the second thing, we say that we have a silanol dissociation at the liquid water interface, and that we have ionic transport due to counter ions only. And then if we just write that, we show that the current will be proportional to the integral over the thickness of the proton density and the velocity of the proton. So how varies the proton density with the height and how varies the velocity with the height remains open question. So if we say we have no we have continuous description still, we can just say that the velocity of the proton is proportional to the electric field with a constant mobility, and then we can remove the u plus of z from the integral, and due to electroneutrality, we should have a constant surface density of charges, and then we recover that the current does not depend on the height. This is the well-known surface conductivity, which has been described in many papers. So this is not what we recover. So this is a model of constant charge, but we can try to fit the model with a constant potential or charge regulation, and each try is not satisfying, so we still don't understand what we have an increase with H in the confined regime. So to get our continuous description, we introduce a stagnant layer of the ions in the system, and we say, okay, we have a mobility that depends on the height, and we are very close from the substrate, so mobility vanishes. So with this very simple model, we have a layer of thickness delta where the mobility is zero, and then the thin film where the mobility is not zero. And if we do that, we can easily recover that the conductance increases with age. Indeed, when you have large age, you have a lot of protons in the mobile layer, and when we have small age, you have a lot of protons in the stagnant layer, I would say. So if you do the calculation, you can have, this very simple formula. If you consider that the stagnant layer is small over other parameters and so on, you can do the full calculation in the Poisson-Boltzmann, formalism, and you recover two contributions, the electrophoretic contribution of the ionic current and the electroosmotic contribution. If you want to see that, you can see Liederich's paper in 2011. This is in the Gui-Chapman regime. We introduce a stagnant layer here of thickness delta. And this fits pretty well our experiments. And we recover a quite small surface charge of 20 microcoulomb per meter square. But if we apply a charge regulation model, we have the good pKa for the silica surface. More interestingly, the thickness of the stagnant layer is always almost the same, 0.3 nanometers, and it's very similar to the thickness of a water molecule. So we were quite satisfied with that. I would say this stagnant layer where the mobility is vanishing is in contrast with so-called stern layer where you have a huge mobility of the ions. But is in agreement with a static and hydrodynamics experiment where we see that the velocity of the liquid is vanishing near the interface when it's hydrophilic at least. So now we wanted to know the origin of the stagnant layer. So then, thanks to my colleague Laurent Joly again, we performed the MD simulation of the very same system. So we have here in yellow the silica, in blue it's a water molecule that are added in the system at a constant temperature. So we added just a given amount of molecules. This is something which is fixed. And we have some silanol group. A few silanol group are ionized. So it's a fixed ionization. It's very passive. Passive, I would say. It's not a reactive simulation. It's passive. All the group, the ionized group are fixed. So here is the movie of the simulation, so we can see some motion of the water molecule. And then we can measure the conductance in this system. And we recover this result, so that the conductance versus the height of the liquid film. This is still our formula. We fit the data. So we have still a fitting parameter with a stagnant layer of around 0.3 nanometers. However, if we look at the surface charge, we find a surface charge density equal to 3 ionized groups instead of the 10 we imposed. So we have a mismatch here. To understand the origin of this mismatch, we computed the diffusion coefficient of the ions in this stagnant layer as a function of the height of the film again. And we can see when we are highly confined, the diffusion coefficient of the ions indeed vanishes. And then, simply from these results, we go back to continuous description. So we apply the Einstein formula. We have a relationship between the diffusion coefficient and the mobility. We put this mobility in the expression of the current, and we recover something very similar to our numerical data of conductance. And so we have a good agreement, this time with a good number of charge. But we still didn't solve the problem. We just say, okay, the mobility is vanishing because the diffusion coefficient of the ions is vanishing. And we can try to find some origins of this. And if you remember a little bit the simulation, there were some dry zones. And here, it's a top view of the liquid film. And the color map shows the thickness, time average thickness of the film. So on the left, it is for thin films, and on the right, for a thick film. The red point corresponds to the ionized group. And what you can see on the left is that you have some dry zones, so the dark zones are dry zones, it's time average thicknesses I mentioned again, so that zones that are always dry, and they are where we have no charges. So I would say that due to this, we have kind of a complex repartition of the water on the silica. It's not homogeneous. And this zone, of course, evolves with time. And this is why this dry zone are at the origin of the hindered diffusion in this system. So this is something that we are currently investigating now. So I finished. As a take-home message, I would say that we perform experiments to measure transport in subnanometric water films. We have a breakdown of continuous description below 0.3 nanometers. Is it an effect of the materials, or for that we are doing experiments with my colleague Fabien Viala and postdoc Mengua Zhao, where we try to put some droplet on graphene, but we are not in a total wetting situation, and we are back to a so-called contact angle of water on graphene, transparency, and so on. We have to perform MD with a reactive interface to see some change in the ionized group. And we can say from applications that we designed an ionic gate activated by humidity or temperature, and we may want to go to optical activation, and we are also performing experiments on a macroscopic system. And on this, I would like to thank my colleagues, Emery Calment, who is a PhD student who is going to finish and who is looking for a postdoc, Mengua Zhao, who is a postdoc with Jean Comté now, and I think he's looking for a position, Rémi Fulcran, Laurent Joly, Christophe Hubert, and Olivier Vincent. Thank you.
Retrouvez tous les contenus du Collège de France sur www.college-2-france.fr.